Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
20-6. 20-6. That baseball score? The Yankees must have run a lot of play action. They must have used motion to dominate like that. You know?
Their quarterback probably is a good runner.
They must be using a lot of they use some 11 personnel, some 12 personnel, some 21. All these modern phrases and things that like now we know are smart. Yeah. The Yankees must be doing that too.
Your personnel packages are really matchup driven. So, you know, it depends on the opponent, Mike.
It does. Do you think the Blue Jays thing here is taking it all? So, we're almost through it, right? It's almost over.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be in the play. They'll probably be in the playoffs. They might go on the road. You know what they're doing? It's a three-game series and then like the better seed
bubble.
Not right away.
No, right. But,
yeah.
Sorry, I jumped ahead. Go ahead.
The better seed would host the whole series.
Right.
So, like next Sunday, a week from Sunday is it. So, you know, we when we heard about it, we talked about whether like what it would do, what it would mean, what it would feel like, all these things. So what does it feel like? What has it felt like?
It feels like football has swallowed me whole. That's what it feels like. So did it take? I mean, I was excited about it. I could never really articulate it, but it was cool to me that they were here. I enjoyed, and I think this was mostly, I remember, no, we've done it with you, with us together, like having Brian on, like, it just reminds me of when I fell in love with sports talk radio, like, which was New York City, WFAN, and like, you know, Mike and the Mad Dog would go to Ed Coleman and here's the Met Report. And like, it itched a good scratch for me, or scratched a good itch for me, I think is what I mean to say. Like having that as something that was a part of the show, but ultimately, I've lost track. I mean, I'm keeping track because of Brian's updates, which I like, but I'm not looking at the standings. I'm not paying a lot of attention, and they might as well really not even be here because football started. Like, I don't know when I have ever felt more immersed in football, but I'm not really paying attention to anything else.
Well, I mean, that's a certain kind of point about the NFL starting, in addition to like how you think, you know, what do you think it means overall? I've got a friend who's working there, and I love hearing his connections and his stories, but it's just like, it's, you know, you probably knew this, but what I'm getting from having the Blue Jays here like this for 2 months and not being able to go and no one being able to go is it, if you feel this way, it shows you how it's important that you can go, how it's important to either be able to go to a game or at least see other people at the game or know people who go to games and talk about it with them. And in the, the first days of your life that you remember as a sports fan, think one of the things probably you thought about is going to the stadium or going to the ballpark or going to the Odd and being like,
sure. Yeah.
How amazing would that be? And that becomes a goal. And it's part of, I think, what sort of binds you to it for your life. You know, you just sort of, it's a quest. And you just know intuitively, you've heard it and you are aware of it. You know that it is not possible here. It is not possible to go see the Blue Jays. It's not possible to see the Bills. It's not possible to go to these hockey games. And it will die if that were to not change. Like, someday it will. Maybe soon. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't, if that doesn't change, the whole thing dies. Because you can't... people need it. People need to touch it. And to go. And all the things that are so great about going to a game, the stadium and the largeness of it and the sounds and the smells, all those things that just do not exist on your television, right? So the blue, I think, I mean, maybe I'm a bigger baseball fan than you are. I don't know. Like, I'm probably a bigger Blue Jays fan than you are, all of this. But yeah. Still, like, it's almost over, and it just hasn't meant anything, really, other than the fact that I know a guy who is telling me stuff from the inside that I think is awesome.
Right.
You know what I mean, though? I don't mean this. Yeah, this is not a knock on them at all.
Dude, you know you're speaking my language here with all this, like, you know, touch and feel and emotion and connection. Like, that's, you know, that is the absolute, I mean, that's who I am as a sports fan. So, I mean, I think you need to have the option. Right? It's a little, you're making me think about when I couldn't go anywhere for 2 weeks after I got back from Wisconsin. I often don't like to go anywhere anyway, so big deal. But now that I really can't or shouldn't, I mean, I wasn't going to get arrested, but I would have felt like a giant, you know what, if somebody recognized me at the supermarket when I would, you know, and knew, like, hey, aren't you like Mr. Follow the Rules Mask, right? So, like, when I didn't have a choice, it really bugged me that I couldn't go. So, like, I think eventually that would probably happen with the teams, even the teams we love, the Bills and Sabres. Like, the Jays are, you know, it's a very transient thing. They're here, and we probably will never experience this again, that they will treat us as their home city. But I think even the Bills and Sabres, if you can't go experience it, even if you don't do it, but you have the choice to do it, I think it takes a lot out of it. And I think eventually it would wither, you know, even with how ingrained all that stuff is. For right now, it's still, I don't know, saying it's a novelty makes it sound cool, and it's not exactly cool, but it's so different that it's still kind of got your attention. I think, like, that's a part of why, like, I have wanted to watch as much football as I can just to sort of experience it and, like, you know, see how is it going, you know, like, how sustainable is this as a model? And, like, do I notice a big difference between 16,000 fans and no fans and the artificial noise and all that stuff? Eventually you want to be able to go back to the thing you love, or at least have the option to do that. The Jays, as it turns out, you know, anybody who on social media was going, wait a minute, why am I supposed to be excited about this if I can't go, I think was asking a good question. I could never answer them, but I thought it was cool that they were playing here, and I still feel that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad they're there, but I've stopped, other things have distracted me, and I'm just not really up on it. Aside from working here, you know, hearing Brian, but other than that, so it hasn't been that meaningful to me in the end
that
they were here.
What can you do with it? Like, anybody, what can you do with it? I mean, there's nothing to do with it. You can't even see them at an appearance. Like, you can't go stand outside the ballpark and look for an autograph. Like, they exist in this, it is like a bubble, their own bubble in Buffalo that includes their hotel and the ballpark. And, like, that's it. I don't know. It's not like it was. You know, people like I do who lived through the beginning years of the Bills and would often talk about how, like, they were in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. If you lived in the city in the 60s, you might have known guys on the Bills. because they went to your church or they worked at the furniture store in the off season where you bought a couch and like you knew them. And like that's awesome. It's like a high school or a college team might be now. I mean, some people actually do know the players, but the players kind of all live in these little pockets and maybe mostly interact with each other, you know? So you probably have to have a pretty good amount of money to know any of the Bills, you know, if you just live near them or something like that. Anyway, that's not exactly the point. The point is just like there was an intimacy to that that helped build what it is. Mm-hmm. And you just cannot touch the Blue Jays. They might as well be on the moon. I mean, you just, if they had, you know,
right,
a baseball stadium on the moon.
Or like, Venus.
It could be anywhere. Venus. Only 3 months.
Yeah. Well, no, you're, I mean, that having the guys in the neighborhood and the off-season jobs, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a very far away era, but like from then to just up to the pandemic, like, you know, those opportunities have dissipated over time. You know, the money has just grown to such a level, and the players are more sheltered, and it's just harder to get access to them. Even training camp is more rigid when it's going on. It's harder to get to the players than it used to be. I don't know about harder. It's just more structured. It's less casual. You know, there's a line, there's an amount of time, and it's just different than it used to be, where, you know, like pretty much any guy would stop on any day. And guys still do stop outside of the organized things they do in the tent, say, at Bill's training camp. But it's gotten harder and harder to feel their presence or be in their presence personally. You know, the Sabres carnival type atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Those opportunities have gone by the wayside. What has remained, again, right up until the pandemic, is that you could go look at them on the field or on the ice and experience that and feel that in whatever way possible. If you have the means to buy a jersey for your kid when you bring them to that first game, then that's okay. That I got my guy, and there he is on the field or on the ice, and this is so cool. And right now, we can't even do that. So we're completely shut off from experiencing them in any personal way other than just looking at them on TV. And, you know,
you can look at any team that way.
Yeah, any team, or you look at, I don't know, Matthew Perry on TV. Like, I don't root for him, but like everybody's living in the box now. You know, like I'm going to get close to Hollywood people, but they're on TV and in movies, and that's what sports have become. Like, I'm not going to them. I'm just looking at them through my television.
Yeah, like what would any Blue Jays player say, you know, in time about what they thought of Buffalo? What would they base it on? The weather? The 10 or 20 people they meet, like my friend, that they would interact with either at the ballpark or at their hotel? What else? Like, they won't know the culture. They won't know the communities. They won't know anything. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to resent that or anything. It's just how it is. So how do you make an impression? How does a place make an impression on you?
Like, yeah, well, how good was the catering?
Right. You know? Like,
that's a tough.
It's a lot of power that whoever the small number of people interacting with them will have in, you know, sort of shaping our reputation in their minds. Just like that happens. But you can't touch them, and there's just no chance of that. So, how does a team like the Blue Jays grow its fan base? So, you know, we've lived here most of our lives. And on a given day, we'll talk about baseball and like, this many people seem to like the Yankees and this many people seem to like the Mets. And, well, I like the Mets because of the teams in the mid-80s and they were on TV every day and I got into the Mets. And you like the Red Sox because of the Green Monster. And the Red Sox were good and you got to know those players. Of course, players stayed on those teams for longer. And so that's how that happened. Yankees were on TV. Your parents and your grandparents liked the Yankees. The Blue Jays, well, what would have done it? Canadian television, and once a year,
going,
my dad would have driven me up there. Yeah, you could go.
Yeah.
It was the closest.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's, you know, in the end, like, you know, the it's like the final step, I think, for most fans. You know, maybe there are people out there that fell in love with a team or a sport by experiencing it live, you know. But, like, for me, when I finally went, like, I started liking the Red Sox in 1975. I think it's 82, maybe? 83? I can't remember. It's not right away that I finally get to the ballpark. And, like, that cements it. Like, now I'm here, and wow, look at this place. It's so much cooler than it even looks on TV, and I loved it on TV. And, like, now you've got me. Like, that's it. I'm in. You know, I'm made now. There's no turning back. Till I die, I'm going to be yours. And, like, that's what, you know, for the Blue Jays to grow their fan base, you know, even 5,000 people a night needed to be let into the ballpark. And some of those people, you know, if they were kids, they would have that experience. Like, well, this is so cool.
Oh, my gosh. It would be so much better than normal if a small number of people got to go, because then, apart from, I'm not talking details, but then you could maybe interact with players. Like, yeah. There's nobody else around. This is like, hey, Vlad, you know, it'd be like so intimate like that, yep. But there isn't that. Yeah, like you can't grow your fan base, I think, doing this. And that was never the point. I mean, the reason they're here is they had an emergency. But, you know, unfortunately, you can't grow the fan base by just playing in a ballpark we can't go to, because it doesn't matter. If it's a 5-minute walk from my house, but I'm not allowed in, what's the difference?
Right. Eventually, the novelty of them playing there and seeing it on TV is going to wear off, and maybe even pretty quickly. Like, for me, I know, like, those first few games when they were on TV, you know, a lot of the shots of balls hit to the outfield, I'm like, I don't like the way any of that looks. You know, like, the backdrop behind the ballpark, it's just sort of like, this isn't a complimentary vision of the city, you know, that I've been, so like, I don't even have that going for me.
Highway.
So like, the aesthetic of this is really cool took a real gut punch right away. And you knew that was, you know, probably, I didn't think about it, but if you brought it up, I probably would have conceded, like, yeah, it's not going to look great. And it doesn't, because, you know, it never has.
Yeah. It looks like the minors. I mean, it's not a criticism.
Right.
It's just they're in the minors. They don't have a third deck
like
a major league ballpark does for long home runs to be hit near. I mean, you don't have that. So, and you know, the Pittsburgh thing is really special, and there are a couple, like San Francisco, a couple stadiums like that, but that's major league money. So it's just like, it is what it is. But you know, like, it's just almost over, and it's just kind of cool. It's a novelty that they're here, but I just wish there were some way to make more out of it than there is. But we knew all along there really probably wouldn't be. Brian, by the way, will be on with us today as, yes, it's time for the U.S. Open. You were saying yesterday how you had to choose Monday night between Steelers-Giants and Vegas-Dallas in the NHL. And you chose the football game, and I said, yeah, we're getting all these new, you know, hypotheticals. What would you watch, this or that? But you actually have to choose this year because the Stanley Cup playoffs are on at the same time as Monday Night Football, which never happens. And so how about this weekend for the Open? Like, the U.S. Open final round on Father's Day, I never miss it.
Nope, same here.
And there is no way I'm watching a minute of it. Nope. And, you know, that's just wild, right? Like, I would never miss the final round of the U.S. Open, but this year I know I won't even look at it at all.
Yeah, no, for sure. And there'll be a game 6 in the hockey tomorrow night, right, because the Islanders won last night. And a couple things. Like, I might have leaned toward the football game anyways, even if last night's game hadn't been one of the most boring sporting events I've ever watched in my entire life. But it was. And that's how the Islanders want to play, need to play. And I sat there and I made it to overtime. I'm like, you know what? I just don't even care. They've got 20 shots through 3 periods of play. And I don't want to watch any more of this. So like Thursday, even though that's another elimination game, and I love hockey, right? I always watch hockey every night. I'm going to be watching the Browns on the Bengals Thursday, and yeah, I'll keep track. I can even watch the hockey game on my iPad if I want while I'm watching the football game on my TV. So maybe that'll happen, but you know, it'll be football, 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 football. You know, and if, you know, if hockey wants to try to get out of the way, I wish them luck, you know, because it's unavoidable. You know, it's on Thursdays, it's on Mondays, I mean, it's college on Saturdays. It'll be interesting to see what the Stanley Cup Finals bring as far as, like, eyeballs, because it's just a weird, like, I thought it would be tough for me in the summer, and in the summer it was easy to watch, you know, games all day. Like, fine, I'm all good here, no problem. Right now, there's other stuff that feels normal for this time of the year, and I think we're all, maybe that's a part of me letting football swallow me up, maybe more so than it usually does, is because in some way, maybe I find that comforting.
But if you put...
It feels normal.
If you put the NFL in April, would you not still watch the NFL?
I don't know.
Maybe not?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it probably... Probably, because for, like, even if for nothing else, work purposes. But yeah, I mean, it's the monster, you know, and you know you can you can complain about that if you want, and we have in different ways over the years, you know, just how brazen they can be sometimes, and just you know, flexing their size, but you bow down in front of it because. Right, we love it. It's awesome.
Well, I don't have 25 fantasy golf teams.
Oh, right. That's so, right.
I mean, I'm on my way, right, Joe? I've won.
Just the one so far.
I'm on my way. Joe's an enabler. I mean that in the nicest possible way. You couldn't have ever meant that more nicely than I just meant.
I took it as a compliment.
It isn't possible. Joe here, he's the first guy to admit his mistakes. No one ever gets to point them out faster than Joe admits them. How about that? First guy to do it. No one is faster. Usually I'm like 10th to admit my mistake. 9 people will tell me that I've made a mistake before I will acknowledge it. But well, Joe is the fastest.
Yeah, you guys get out in front of it.
Get right out in front of it.
Yeah,
you can't
beat him. What's the point of waiting around, waiting for everyone else to do it?
You can't beat him to his mistakes.
It's either the one of the two. I either will be the first to admit it, or I will never admit it. It's
one of the two.
There's no middle.
Well, occasionally, even during this, I'll be listening to an update, and I hear you say something that I know isn't correct, and I assume it's because you wrote it down wrong, and just read it, or you read it wrong. But either way, like I point those out to you, it doesn't happen often. And you always you don't say I didn't say that, because if you said I didn't say that to me, you know what I do? I probably heard it wrong.
Well, it's on the tape. I can't argue that. I mean, if it's on the tape, right.
Check the tape.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Sal Capaccio today at 4 Eastern. Brian Cozio late in the show. The injury report is out. We'll talk a lot of Bills, of course. There is one more baseball thing I want to be mad out loud about. I'm going to be mad on the radio about it.
All right. Then
you can guess my age after I say it. If you don't know my age, you can guess my age after I make this point. 803-0550 is our number, and you can call us and be on. It's been done.
That's how it works.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage,
to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Each week is a different week. I'm certainly aware of Cam's abilities. And, you know, listen, we have our approach to game planning. And obviously, New England had their approach. What we're focused on is this week's game and our opponent this week. So, you know, we'll just see how we match up against a very good defense. You know, they've added and put a lot of money into this defense and this football team. It'll be a big challenge for us, honestly.
Sean McDermott today, a guest getting a question about the Patriots. You know anything more, Joe? Because there was
game planning.
No way he was going to talk about the Patriots.
About game plan. I think it was more geared towards saving things in your playbook.
Oh, you know, all right. We talked about that the other day a little bit. A luxury you may be able to afford or think you can take advantage of if you cruise in games. And they just, they're one for one.
Yep.
Cruising in games. Let's take a call here and then we'll... get into some Bills pretty soon. Jim is with us on WGR. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. That is my name. You guys are one for one so far, so congratulations on that. I was sitting here, and longtime listener, first-time caller, just real quick one for you. Number one, you were talking about the Blue Jays. I've got a three-month-old son that's sitting in my left arm right now. I'm sitting on paternity leave, and there's nothing more than I wanted than to watch some Blue Jays games with my son. The network deals are an absolute pain. You know, the fact that they get moved here to Buffalo and we can't watch them without some advanced network package, I think that's part of the reason why it's not quite hitting home, in addition to not being able to go there with the friends and family. Second point, and it's completely unrelated for you guys, and then I'll hang up and listen, is I feel like I've been a lifelong Bills fan, and I feel like we're very close to on the cusp of really having something with the offense. And the hypothetical that I have for you guys is, if you could choose between having an offense that basically, no matter what the defense did, right, let's say it's the wide receivers, right, you run out two of the best corners, your wide receivers are just going to be able to beat them every single week, or you have a matchup-driven scheme where basically what I feel like we're close to with the Bills right now, which is basically week to week, you pick the matchup, right, the Jets can stop the run, you throw on them, the Dolphins can stop the pass, you run on them. Which would you guys rather have? And I'll hang up and listen.
I think your question is mostly, would you rather have the talent or the scheme? Like, I mean, I always want to have the talent because then I can do the other thing. I'm in charge of the other thing. If I don't have the talent, I can only go so far. So if that's what you're asking, is that what it sounds like he's asking?
I think so, yeah. Or would you? Yeah, I don't think he's asking whether you'd be good at passing or whether you would be good at running. I think it's, would you rather be smart enough to figure out what to do against whom, or just be so good that you just we're rolling the balls out like that. Here we are, and we don't care what you're going to do to try to stop us. We're going to do what we do because we're so friggin' good that you can't stop it. I know Kansas City probably looks like that, and maybe there is some of that, but they still game plan, they still match up and specific. I'm sure to who they're playing, because that's just That's coaching, you know? Like, those guys, almost in a way, probably want to validate their existence by telling you, like, oh, I had to prepare to beat the Houston Texans, so here's what we did. And it's going to be different when we play, I don't know, who does Kansas City play next week?
L.A. Like, Chargers.
Okay. So I think that's maybe. I'm not sure if I understood exactly what he was asking.
I think all great teams have both.
Yeah. What I think is true is that right now, the reason I'm so encouraged is that I think for a long time, the Bills, if the way to beat a team was going to be through the air, they weren't going to be able to do it. they didn't have the talent to do it at quarterback or at receiver. And so, you know, that's the drought. You know, that's the no 300-yard games for all this time. Now they have assembled such a deep – I mean, there's a lot of talent over there on offense now at skill positions. And they are starting to believe maybe that they have a quarterback that can be trusted to do it when it's called for. You know, I doubt they're just going to do it for the hell of it if they think it's not the right matchup. But I think that's one of the reasons I'm so encouraged is that, like the caller says, they're right on the cusp of having something really special. And I think that's because of the progress they've made in their passing game.
It still remains to be seen whether they're that good, though. I mean, here we are again, like last year, where the first game happened and you can – I mean, it's fair enough to make a point about the Jets. I mean, the Jets could be the league's worst team. Last year they weren't, but they weren't good either. But you might, you know, you have to see how it goes. Can they throw for 300 yards against somebody good? I think what makes the Chiefs and the Ravens, and you mentioned the Chiefs, especially, you know, good or daunting, if you're looking at it from the Bills' perspective, is that they are really both things. I mean, the talent of Mahomes and Jackson, both, are undeniable, like what they're able to do. But they also have, like, the Chiefs with Reed and play calling and schemes and their speed, and the Ravens with their intelligence and some of the play design there. It's just, like, really amazing. And that's what you're up against, you know. If you have to play, well, one, let alone both of those teams in the postseason, what can you do? And I don't want, though, see, I'll think about that all the time, because that's the point of pro sports, is getting to the top. How do you get to the top? Why do you cut Tyrod Taylor and trade up twice in the draft to draft Josh Allen? Because you want to win a championship. You want to be good enough, at least that's the story. You want to be good enough to win a championship. That's why you do it. You're already in the playoffs. You're in the middle of the league. You want to do better. So I'll think all the time about, well, Kansas City, Baltimore, maybe New England still, like, they haven't fallen off yet. That sort of point. But I don't, in here, you know, when we're talking about the Bills every day, I don't want to sound like that's the only measure of whether you're any good. I mean, I don't feel that way, and I certainly don't want to sound that way. That, like, well, you know, if the Bills go 12-4, and one of their four losses is to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are 14-2, I'm not going to sit here for 4 months going, oh, well, Kansas City. Like, you can be worthy, you can be worth something in the league without being the top team. And right now with the Bills, you have a team that went to the playoffs last year and 2 years before that, and they're thought of as pretty good. In their first game, they looked really good. That's fun. That's enough. Mm-hmm. You know, that qualifies for something. That's enough.
Sure.
I'm not going to put them down for that because they're not Kansas City yet. Like,
right. Know, and they we'll see Kansas City in 5 weeks. You know, and like I think we touched on this at one point last week. Like, let's hope we get there with a good record so that it really feels, or even a great record, right? 4-1 would be great. And we're like, okay. All right, the Bills so far have handled everything they've faced. You know, mostly, you know, there's a loss in there somewhere. Forgive me, I don't have the schedule memorized, but they'll, you know, whatever. But 4-1, here come the Chiefs. Like, that would be so hot. and then it just like leading up to it will be hot. The game will be, I mean, just a lot. There'll be a lot of familiar feelings that maybe you haven't experienced in a long time. It would feel like the biggest regular season game since who knows when for them if they got to that. And then, of course, the aftermath. Like, how did it go? You know, what did Sean McDermott's defense do to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, his mentor? I think that's, it's cool to be in a spot where you're hoping for these measuring stick type games, you know, and you can get caught up in making more out of them than is warranted, but that's a lot of the fun of it, you know? So, that's where this season should be heading. Is for a week six showdown with the top team in the conference. And you are a real contender. That's what we're all, I think that's what we're in it for right now.
Thanks again, Jim. Jim makes a good point about baseball on TV. You know, I don't know where to start. The rules seem to change a lot. And, you know, it's Salem Field, you know, it's in Buffalo. You made the point about the backdrop. You know, all the signage is Canadian. Right? Mm-hmm. It's Canadian businesses and restaurants and like it really is supposed to, it's for Blue Jays fans. That's what it's for, you know, it's for fans watching the Blue Jays. So I don't know. This is not a bad thing. It's just we were talking before about whether the Jays being here has like taken hold of people in any way. Like now you're a fan of the Blue Jays and you weren't before. And I just really don't see how it could or would have with such like just not no access to them at all in this current situation. On baseball, I'll do this quickly. Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, said that he thinks there's support for baseball keeping 16 playoff teams and that he thinks that'll be the norm. That'll be the new format. And, you know, I just want to throw up actually on him. Oh, that's not very, you know,
no, that's not
these days.
That's relatively unbecoming.
These days, you don't want to get that close to people.
No, right?
No, but I mean, like, that's the worst. And this is when I say this, and somebody out there can guess how old I am, because I'm going to right now be the guy that complains about teams. It's a joke. The baseball, the length. Maybe I'll just wait until later. The length of the baseball season is such that you cannot have so many teams in the playoffs and expect it to be taken seriously. It's 162 games and then whatever that's going to be depending on how many teams are in, two or three series. And we already know, like we're smart now. We have computers and we know that we know data. We know how to figure these things out. We know who the people are that can figure them out for us. We know how random the baseball playoffs already are. Like, the worst team in baseball, if it won a lottery ticket to the playoffs, could win the World Series because that's baseball. If you are playing 3 out of 5 against teams, you know, you don't have to be a great team. What you have to be, traditionally, is a great team to get there. And they're talking about 16 making it, which is what they're doing this year. Fine, they're doing it this year.
Right.
But that's so bad. It's bad enough in hockey. And we know in hockey this is happening more and more often. The cap works to, you know, keep the top teams from being too much better than the bottom teams. It sort of puts everybody in the middle. And the sport itself is kind of like that. And now you have the Blues, who are last in the league, winning the Stanley Cup. And the Kings were an 8 seed winning the Stanley Cup. And whatever Dallas is, you know, if it's Dallas and the Islanders, I mean, just, you get the point. I mean,
yeah.
Baseball already kind of has this problem, and now they're talking about 16 teams. It was 10. And just what? How much farther can you actually go to cheapen the season?
Well, I guess they're going to take that for a spin. Did you see there was Sean Tierney, right, Charting Hockey on Twitter? Mm-hmm. He tweeted an article. I did not read the whole article, but it was from Stats by Lopez that did the work on NFL, MLB, and NHL playoff series in order to match what they call the NBA's, quote, better team advances rate, right? The better team wins NBA playoff series at a rate of 80%. And they went through this study, and the data tells them that in baseball, in order to match an 80% rate of success for the better team advancing, you would need to play best of 75 playoff series.
Right. Yeah. we talked about this like a couple months ago.
That's amazing.
Somebody was best of 51.
The NHL is best of 51. Football is best of 11, it says here.
Right. Now, 80% is up to you. Like the NBA isn't necessarily, that's not the right number necessarily. It's up to, it's subjective.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. You might want more upsets than the NBA.
That's right.
But still,
you do not want coin flips for every postseason series, and that's almost what you'd get.
Right.
So, yeah. Just like, I don't know. You don't have sports fans, independent sports fans in charge of sports. We've known this forever. And often you notice it because sports does something you, the fan, would never approve of. Okay. Oh, wait. I forgot. If I live in the south side of Chicago, I'm excited because now the White Sox have a better chance. Who cares? It's cheap. It's cheap, Joe.
I already don't care about the baseball regular season, so.
Oh, well. You're all set.
I'm okay over here.
You don't have to worry about it because you don't care about this.
I would take six. You know what? I can't even say it because I would have told you that I'd be more interested in this baseball season because it's a shorter regular season and there's more playoff teams, but I really don't.
Can you imagine a best of 11 NFL playoff round? Oh, the Bills are up 3-0 on the Chiefs, but, you know, the Chiefs could still, six of the next eight.
Right. The sixth game is the hardest to win. We all know it. I mean,
it'd be almost as long as the regular season. Right. One series. Okay. Sal Capaccio in about 15 minutes. Bill's injury update and more. It's our first chance to talk to Sal about the game Sunday and the moat. So we will look back and forward with him coming up soon. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I actually thought it was really cool not only that they had that game plan, but that Allen could do it. Because it's nice to say short passes and timing passes, but if he starts missing, everyone in the national media has decided to say that, well, he has accuracy problems and he always will. Look, you can fix that. You know, he's a young, young quarterback. Now we just got to get him to hold on to the damn ball when he runs. Can we fix that?
Everyone in the national media. Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football on One Bills Live yesterday. San Francisco having problems. George Kittle, Kyle Shanahan says, will not practice this week, but hopes to play Sunday. They are at the Jets. The Niners are doing what the Bills did last year, going to the Jets and Giants back-to-back. But because they're so much farther away, and I think this also might be a COVID mandate, they're not going home.
They're just making camp there for 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, all
right. Right. Or, you know, whatever that comes to, right?
Yeah, right. Right.
Over a week.
And a half
So Richard Sherman on IR. They're banged up in the secondary already. Kittle. And we'll see. They lose at home to Arizona. Not really how you want to start. At the Jets, which isn't, you know, the worst matchup for a team. And then at the Giants, which isn't either. Let's see what they can do. What do you think? Would you bet that they win both of those games?
They should. Are they? What are they this week? Did you just say it? I'm sorry. Are they favored against?
Seven, I think.
Oh, okay. So they probably would be favored against the Giants too.
I think so.
I mean, I know we have a bet here, and I'm what do I need? 11 wins out of them, and it didn't get off to a great start, and they've got injuries now, but. I think they're good enough, even with whatever's going on right now injury-wise, to beat the Jets and the Giants.
San Francisco gave up a pretty good amount of rushing yards, almost 180, or might have been 180 exactly, against the Cardinals. 91 by Kyler Murray, 13 for 91 and a touchdown in addition to his passing. DeAndre Hopkins, a huge game for Arizona. The Bills' injury report is out for Sunday at Miami. We'll talk to Sal about that and more. Sal Capaccio after this here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.